pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. Our guest today is Sugandha Sukrutraj, founder of Amba and author of its Pan-India copyrighted curriculum. An Ashoka Fellow with 18 years of experience in developing a sustainable livelihood solution for adults with moderate to severe intellectual disability, the focus is on visual data entry and peer training. This, along with 11 years of experience in aviation and IT, gives her the mainstream know-how for enabling sustainability. Amba's concept has been shared with 475 special institutions across 25 states in India, helping them become small hubs for learning and earning. She was awarded the Ashoka Fellowship in 2007 for her initiative in conceiving the holistic Amba concept for the moderate to severe intellectually challenged adults who do not have the social skills to work directly in the mainstream. Amba can only be sustainable with work with the presence of community participation from both individuals and mainstream companies to draw upon their network to sustain work. Multiple awards and recognitions later, the pandemic has thrown them the biggest challenge. Listen in as she shares her journey, the proud moments and the current challenge. She, along with the team at Amba, invites volunteering partnerships to generate more opportunities and possibilities of work post-global automation. Appreciating the smart minds participating in exploring more opportunities of back-end work from the volunteers network, Sugandha believes that this support is critical to Amba and the community they serve going forward, as existing processes could get further automated. Their target is to enable work to 1,50,000 beneficiaries by 2030. Hi, Sugandha. Such a pleasure catching up with you after almost a decade now. But to know about the progress that has happened at Amba is something that is amazing for me, happy for me, and absolutely proud of you. Welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty. You are an amazing person. I want to know what little Sugandha was like to the Sugandha Sukrutraj that the world knows you today.
My goodness. So little Sugandha, right from the time I was born, my father was a fighter pilot. And so, you know, flying was kind of, I grew up to the sound of fighter aircraft around me. And I think the first time I flew was with my father was when I was 3.5 years old and in a tiger moth, okay? And many years after I lost him to an air crash, and many years after, you know, when I was about 10 or 11, I asked my mother, I keep getting these dreams about, you know, stars above me and stars below me. And then she told me it was, you're flying with your father, you know, the stars above, because it was night flying. It was all about stars above and stars below the city lights, okay? So that's how my childhood started. But unfortunately, by the time I was 6.5, my father crashed. And my mother was the most inspiring human being I've ever come across. And my sister and I, she really looked after us. And if you can sail through my schooling, I didn't do very much. I wasn't one of those exceptional students. But I was good at maths and I was good at poetry and English. And it stood me well, I think, over the years. And I was just 16 when somebody 13 years older than me, fell in love with me and came and asked my mother if he could marry me. So by the time I was 17, I was married. And fortunately for me, he was also from the Air Force. He was a fighter pilot from the Air Force. It was just the most amazing thing that happened to me. And by the time I was 19, I had two boys. And I went through 17 wonderful years of being the wife of this amazing gentleman. He commanded TACD, he commanded a squadron. He was actually in Thailand representing the three armed forces when I lost him to cancer. You know, within just 6 weeks, I lost him to cancer. And then suddenly all the focus was on me. So that's when my studying started. You know, I started to study. I started to study computing. I started to get into masters in literature because that was the easiest thing to do. But I was extremely determined to stay in aviation. You know, everybody said, she doesn't look too bad. You know, with her computer knowledge, you can put her in a front office of a five-star hotel. I said, no, I want to stay in aviation. And that's how my journey in aviation started. So I started with, I was a manager, business manager, and I really didn't know how to be a business manager, representing Jane's Weekly. This company called Vayu was representing Jane's Weekly. But the culture shock, you know, from the Air Force coming out into the mainstream was one of the biggest adjustments I had to make. Of course, there was a lot of adjustments that my boys had to make also, because from American school to this place and all that, but they've turned out to be brilliant.
This is amazing, Sugandha. But you know what? I've always noticed that you're somebody so full of life, so full of energy. I'm curious to know that with all this happening around you, and then you found this amazing world of being a mother, two brilliant boys, and your life has moved on. But what are the pieces of Sugandha you discovered at this point of time, which you put together to become the Sugandha that the world sees you today as?
So I think one of the things I understood very early, Rashmi, was that my mind played a big part in everything that I did. If in my mind I had made up my mind to do something, I found I could strive to do it. Okay? And I found very early in my life, when I was just 33 when my husband left me, I didn't even know that we had to sign behind a self-check. Okay, that's how protected we are in the Air Force. But I realized that the mind plays a huge part. And when I said I will stay with aviation, I stayed with aviation. Then my boys finished, both were in the same class, just a year and a half apart. And so we moved. Initially, actually, I moved to Delhi because I was tired of the sympathy around me, you know. And I felt that to make my husband proud, I needed to live and really live well. So therefore, we moved from Bangalore, we moved to Delhi. We went directly to Delhi, my sons and I. And we really struggled because we had to hire a home and we already had a home in Bangalore, you know, and all these things. But we survived, okay. And when they finished their 12th, I brought, all three of us came back to Bangalore. And that's when I was really fortunate. I had this mentor, you know, who later on became the chairman of Special Olympics. And when I lost a job, he'd find me a new job, you know. That culture shock is really hard when you're in a protected environment and then you come out and, you know, people treat you differently. You know, you're so used to that respect. So that was hard for me, but then I got used to it. I knew that I could cope with that also. But anyway, to cut a long story short, when I came to Bangalore, I was introduced to a gentleman called Anand Sethi from Convex, who was planning to organize the first air show in India. Again, to cut a long story short, 45 minutes of an interview, from being a consultant, I turned out to be the regional manager South for Convex. And then I realized today it was the complete network that I had in the Air Force that enabled me to bring in all that was required, from the venue to everything. I'll share my book with you. When I finish the book, you'll know more about it. but I don't think you have enough time to hear about that. But it was wonderful to bring in 21 countries, Rashmi, okay, to participate. Most of them were, you know, what you called calendar participation, you know. So what they do is they have their different types of brochures and things like that, you know, and they participate. But we had over 40 aircraft that participated at the air show. So this was, I think, even today, it comes very close, a very close second to what I'm doing today. Thereafter, I found, you know, I was kind of saturating because I'd never really studied to develop into a strategic marketing person for aviation. It was just the experience of, you know, putting this air show together that had given me all these nuances of knowledge that took me forward. So immediately after the first air show, which was really the precursor, in 1993, they called it Avia India 93. What happened was the defense ministry took over and they kind of distanced themselves from Convex. But they hired me to actually, they hired me on contract to go around visiting the 55 aviation units of DRDO and to bring in the export potential. This was a huge learning. And it was chaos at the next air show because 55, all of them wanted to participate. And if it wasn't for Kalam coming in and saying, you know, that this looks like my laboratory, I would have been in a big lot of trouble, you know. So the minute he came in and he said, I love this. This is like a laboratory, you know, that's what saw me through that phase. And then it was while I was working with Deccan Aviation that I was invited by the IT secretary. What I was doing in Deccan Aviation was I was selling timeshare on the helicopter. We actually took helicopter service to Hyderabad and to Chandrababu Naidu at that time, you know. And then when I came back and I had this 1 hour interview with Sanjay Dasgupta, who was the information technology secretary at that time, he said, ma'am, can you help me put a showcase of different technologies in a computer-driven atmosphere? And I don't know why at that time, Rashmi, I said, I'll do it if you allow me to explore possibilities for the different disabilities. And I thought I was the cat's whiskers. I had solutions that were more interesting, actually, you know, from all the other disabilities. But the project failed. It failed disastrously, okay? It didn't take off at all. I still have that 200-page a report that is available with me. One copy I, you know, handed over to them, and unfortunately I got paid for it. But it was quite disastrous and I was quite disillusioned. But at that time, my mentor came back into my life and he was by then the chairman of Special Olympics. And he said, I want you on the board of Special Olympics, you know, the National Board of Special Olympics. And that's when I realized, Rashmi, that what I thought was complete in resourcing, you know, different kind of experiences in a computer-driven driven atmosphere, I thought it was completely holistic. It included all the disabilities. But this is when I realized that I hadn't explored this community as yet. Okay, I had come across slow learners, learning disabilities, autism, dyslexia, all of that. And I had solutions for them. But this community of people who are, you know, most of them that I came across were adults, okay? And they were people who had brain injury because of the fact that they were, the injury came from prenatal because of malnutrition or the husband kicking the wife in the stomach, natal and postnatal, okay? So postnatal was when the nurse, the baby slipped out of the nurse's hands, because most of the people, you know, I was communicating at this time through Special Olympics, I would say over 24 states, all right? And that was my research to really understand these people. Also through the area directors in each state, all right? And it was when I sent them, you know, we were 12 trustees And we got together and raised the funds and sent them for the Special Olympics World Summer Games, 81 of them from 11 states. When they came back, they had 110 medals, 37 was gold. And this is when I had come across all the Kirmanis of the world who had jobs, not because they were appropriate, not because they had the education for the job that they were doing, but because of the fact that they had brought laurels to the country. So my chairman and I, we went from ministry to ministry, including Dr. Kalam. And he said, how can we, Sugandha? You know, how can we? It was very disillusioned, Rashmi. I came back, but my chairman didn't give up. His name is Emma Shikila, and I must mention it because today I wouldn't be what I am if it wasn't for him. Okay, he's the one who recognized my potential. He said, I like to help you because I know every time I help you, you make me proud, you know. Sorry, I'm patting myself in the back, but I don't normally do it. But
he I think you should, Sugandha, once in a while pausing to just give credit where it's due, but also taking the steps like you did makes a big difference in who you are, right?
But it is this gentleman, Rashmi, it is this gentleman, Emma Shikila, who went on to Mani Shankar Iyer, who was then the Minister for Petroleum in 2003. He, without thinking, gave 100 lakhs to these 81 guys. So if they had a gold medal, they got 1 lakh. But the person who didn't get a medal at all got 25,000, okay? That 25,000 in 2003 could be converted to a room and a bathroom, which even today they get rental. That's when I realized the power of economic empowerment. And that's when I slowly, you know, distanced myself from Special Olympics and I started AMBA.
Amazing, Sugandha, how life has been so kind to you, the universe so kind to you, had your back big time. But you had the courage to leave that Special Olympics where it was all set for you, easy for you, and everything was in place to get into something so beautiful. I love the name. Now, can you tell us the story behind AMBA, the name, the genesis, and how Sugandha got involved with all of this?
So basically, when I wanted, I kind of distanced myself from Special Olympics. I knew that the computer was a powerful instrument. I didn't know how I was going to take it through. And one of the things I had done was I had... Special Olympics, I had got Intel to give the area directors in every state a laptop. And I said, there's no point giving them a laptop if you don't do training. So they were actually training with Intel. When I went as a trustee to just see what was happening. And when I got there, luckily for me, the head of CSR, global head of CSR, Anna, I think her name was, Anna, she was there, and I told her about my idea as to how I wanted to use computers because I knew I could get the attention of these people with computers. So when I told her that, she said, tell us what we can do. And in 2003, end of 2003, I think this was December, she said, will it be nice if I give you 5 lakhs? Okay. And I said, I don't have a registered body as yet. So would you mind giving me things in kind rather than in cash? She said, whether it's in kind or in cash, you'll have to have a registered body. That's when within a week, I registered, AMBA. Why did I call it AMBA? AMBA was my grandmother's name. In a flash, that was the first thing I could think of. And also AMBA means mother. And seeing the kind of abuse that our children were going through at that time, you will not believe it. To be kind to the kids, they used to chain them up before they went out to work and leave food for them in bowls, water in bowls. It was awful to see them like that. Mental abuse, physical abuse. I mean, I was exposed to just too much Rashmi at that time. So I was very determined. Again, I said, you know, my mind was the first thing that was determined to do this. And the second thing I was very clear about was that I wasn't going to reinvent the wheel anywhere. I knew that the best way to do things was in collaboration. So luckily for me, I come from an Air Force background. So I went to the Air Force And they gave me 3 rooms. They gave me trainers. They gave me the kids in their place. And then I went out and I looked for more people. And in collaboration thereafter with Intel, for just the technology from them at that point in time, that's how I put Amba in place. It was all about collaboration then, and it's all about collaboration now. Okay. So what Amba does is we use technology to get the attention of people with intellectual disabilities. So like I explained earlier, these are people with all kinds of, behavioral challenges at puberty. Now, if you're going to address adults, you've got to work with puberty also, right? So there are behavior challenges with puberty. There are health challenges because of the brain injury. There are so many huge impediments that you come across because you don't have the total support of the family. Okay. And I found that the mind and body coordination was just not there. So it took a long time for me to realize what I would do with them. So it took me about 3 years, and it was only when I was in Nagpur. By then I had scaled to another, using the Air Force, I had scaled to another 3 cities, 3 states. And with the help of an organization called St. Thomas Mission Society in Mandya Village, you know, it was amazing to see village children for the first time, you know, using the computer well without having any kind of knowledge of A, B, or C either, okay? And then Nagpur and Delhi and Ujjain, all right? So I was in Nagpur and we were looking for work. We had trained about 20 people with adults with intellectual disability on how to use the computer, you know, visually. I realize now that even at that time, we were doing pattern recognition, you know, and visual matching processes, where you kind of remove all the other senses, which don't work so well for them, and focus only on the visual aspect of it. And so we went looking for work. And when we came back, Rashmi, you won't believe it, you know, everybody didn't say no, but they wouldn't say yes either. We went to RBI, we went to banks, we went to telecommunications. But even though at that time we were doing back-end work for Tata Teleservices, people would still not give it to us. You know, it was a long process of asking and asking and asking. Then when we came back, there was this auditor who was sitting and waiting for the head of the institution. So it was when we came back, the auditors, when I asked him, I said, can you just refer me to someone? That's when he said, why don't you go to Dinsha Ice Cream Man? And when I thought of Dinsha Ice Cream, I thought of paper cup making, I thought of packaging, and I saw about 200 more adults out there in the center called Jivode that needed work. I had found a solution for just 20 of them, but there were 200 more people. So I said, let's go and see what they have. And little did I know that they had more than enough computer-related work for us. So to cut a long story short, when I went there and saw these people, what happened was I noticed that they were typing and in 3 languages, okay? So I kind of talked to myself a lot. I said, 3 languages, how can we work in the vernacular when you have, you know, the half matras and you have the, you know, you have so many other, things which are difficult for our children to reason, you know. But then in the next instance, I realized that they were not typing. They were selecting options. So in the first vertical, there was morning or afternoon milk. And I looked at the image of morning and afternoon was completely different in both, in all the languages. Subha Sham, you know, if you see the length of the word, everything was visually different. Then the second thing was buffalo or cow. Look how different, if you just look at the visual of the cow and the buffalo, again, totally different in all the languages. And the third and the fourth were just number of liters and percentage of fat. So immediately dawned upon me that I could try. So we went back and we, you know, started this 2-month I put, I mean, the teachers put the names of the kids on the whiteboard. And this is really important. You know, this part of the whole process is really important because we put the names on the whiteboard or blackboard and on small pieces of paper. And we, Chumantri, we threw it on the table. Everybody grabbed a paper. Now, if Rashmi got Sugandha, okay, Rashmi didn't know what Sugandha looked like. But Sugandha was so delighted that Rashmi had her name. And this is how they matched the image of the name for the first time. And this is where I put the curriculum built from this experience. And it has evolved into a copyrighted curriculum across India. And it has enabled over 8,000 people today, Rashmi. Okay. I would say it has empowered over 8,000 families, more than that actually, because 2,052 people we enabled employment from 2004 to 2015. But in 2015, with the help of Tata Trust, I got a team from three people who were running Amba. I got a team of 54 people, okay? And with their help, we took it to 25 states in India. Here, it's really important to know that if you collaborate and you use existing collaterals, what happens is your overheads get down to an absolute minimum. So this is how in just 3 years, with the help of my team, and I had an amazing young lady called Somia. She was the director for training, and she was a tiger, and she got all these monitoring staff saluting and doing the job, you know, and that's how we collaborated with 475 centers that we call now Amba Certified Partner Centers in 25 states in India. In Mizoram and Jammu and Kashmir, we've been having a bit of a challenge because of obvious reasons, the Naxalites and the landslides in Mizoram. And in Jammu and Kashmir, every time I've been there already to both these places. Somya and I went to Mizoram and we went to Jammu. But thereafter, we couldn't go again because of the security challenges there. But in all the other centers, there is a heavy lean towards South India. You know, there are many more centers in South India. But I feel very proud that at least we made an inroad into 25 states.
Wow. Sugandha, it's amazing. You mentioned Soumya and the training that you did right from the Northeast to Jammu Kashmir. Now, obviously, your team is very well chosen and it has some amazing people. So can you tell us a little about your team?
So Rashmi, there are two aspects to our team. One is the training that is done. And the training is like different aspects to it, which I will go into very shortly. And one is the monitoring aspect of it. Okay. The larger team that I have are peers with intellectual disability. We wouldn't be able to do the training without them. So at the core center, I have 110 people with IQs that vary from 65 down to 11 IQ. Each of them productive, each of them who are multitaskers. They not only do training for other people like them in other states, and today they do it taking remote access. But they also do the training, the initial training for special educators from all those 475 centers. So the trainers are people with intellectual disability. So I talked about my core center, which we call the Amba Core Center. We call it the ACC. And then we have the Amba Certified Partner Centers, which are the ACPCs. Now, each Amba Certified Partner Center has a special educator who's trained by our people at the ACC, who is really the umbrella, who stands back till she's absolutely required to intervene. Otherwise, we have 20 people. Two of them are trained at the ACC and then they go back. The rest of the 18 are selected. 20 people with higher ability and 20, they're broken up into higher ability and lower ability. And a small portion of information is taught to the higher ability. And they take that information through to the person with the lower ability. But as you go forward over the years, what happens is the person with a higher social skill becomes the driving force. So sometimes even someone with a lower IQ with a better social skill is able to take over the partnership that is there. Okay? So this is how, this is the big team that I have, which is 475 in two people in the AMBA certified partner centers. And in the ACC, I have 110 people who are completely responsible, not just for the initial training. They are responsible for the training once we get the work, once we put the pilots in place. You know, work comes as a PDF or as an image. It needs to go back with all the service level agreements of the client met. It needs to go back the way the client wants. The intermediate software is what Pramod and there's another young man, a general manager called Prabhu. These are the two guys who actually put that software in place with the help of volunteers. But sometimes volunteers are not available. We actually pay for the software. But we wouldn't be able to understand whether the software really works unless it's tested out by our 110 people at the call center. You understand how important these 110 people are. So pilots are driven also by people with intellectual disability. And thereafter, it is the monitoring that the rest of my team does. Now, the 22 people that I have today who are mainstream, I wouldn't be able to work without them. It is not about I anymore. It's all about we today. I have two directors. There's Chaitra. Chaitra helps me with the HR, a very small part of HR, but a big part of business development. And of course, there's Pramod. Pramod is very shy, very, very shy. But I promise you, he delivers, okay? In fact, he tells me what needs to be done where it comes to software and hardware. And he's really a hardware person. And thanks to Pramod, we have many of our young people who are driving the hardware. Okay, we've got people from 11 IQ to 70 IQ, right? Who are actually assembling laptops outside. I mean, they're multitaskers, all of them, okay? And then, of course, Chaitra and Pramod, I always tell them one of you have to be here to safeguard the program. And most of the time it works, okay? The second level of people are my general managers. Kalpana out here. And there are three more people that Chaitra, will you quickly take it across to them? That's Prabhu. I was talking about Prabhu, who helps Pramod with software and with technology. These are my amazing peer trainers. That is Shivu. That is Ranjini next. So my entire program is manager driven, Rashmi. You know, I've got about 12 to 14 managers. And the whole country is divided among these managers. And my general managers monitor what they do and help me to showcase it to the rest of the world. So Kalpana, can I leave it to you to talk about, you know, what you do here at the center?
Hi, ma'am.
Hi, hi, Kalpana.
So here in AMBA, they are working on the data entry works. But even though most of them don't know, they are working on visual methodology. Even today, they don't know ABCD, but they are able to do the work as you and I do. Now, at present, what you observed, we were doing the work for Bombay Stock Exchange, which we have completed, and waiting for the second phase of Bombay Stock Exchange. And they take this, all the training from, even from the basic, everything is a peer-driven program. So when they come to AMBA, most of them, they come with very low esteem, with themselves, reserved. So after when they come, our focus is to make them motivate. The main job of the special educator, whether in ACC or in ACPC, our main job is to motivate them. Because most of them have low self-confidence in them. Because of the society or parents, I don't know. Maybe different other things. When they come, we introduce pain to them. We introduce Google images, Googles to them. We introduce different topics. So we speak on the topics of the day. Slowly, only one boy, the first day, they will start to open up. And slowly another boy. Sometimes some child may take it 3 to 6 months also to open up. Once they are open up, they will take the program. So when they learn and they start, we introduce the training and we take any access. We train them. Our ACC, peer trainers will start training the ACPC peers from online. After they, it will go in different phase of training. First will be the non-computer activity. Pre-corona, it was a different methodology of training. But after corona, there is a different methodology of training.
Very good.
Because that time we were able to be able to come to the cities, to Bangalore, stay with us, learn the things and go back. But after corona, we think it is not safe for them or for us. So we are taking the program on online, where we have to take the program by step by step by step. Once we finished the first phase of training, that the first phase of training is we are introducing the alphabets to them. We will not tell the alphabets are A or B or C. It is an image for them. We will tell we are introducing the images, different type of images, which is in present in keyboards and other things. We'll introduce the images and they start to learn to match the images. The first phase of training is to get the matching of images. Then we slowly move them to second phase of training, where they will learn to copy and paste the images. There will be a different curriculum for each training and they will copy and paste it. Once they learn it, then we take them to computer activity. We use them to functionally using of computer, not all the things in the computer. Only whatever is necessary for them for the training, it is done. So once they learn that, we take them through Paint, Word and Excel.
So we've had two major setbacks, Rashmi, which needs to, I need to talk about it. The first setback was in 2016 with global automation. Okay. These 2,052 people, we lost all the processes to automation. You remember I talked about Dinsha ice cream. We had scaled from 20 people to 150 people doing 10,000 receipts a day. And the whole thing was out of the window. And luckily for us, we were able to get them the Reliance work in the automated scenario. But the setback has taken us some 3-4 years to actually recover from it, okay? But the positive about this is that I found that many of my heads of institution started to find work for themselves. They took us into the hospitality industry, which we had not explored earlier. They took us into multimedia, which we had not. It was because of them that we were able to, literally helped people put a dictionary of species together. And the most exciting thing for us was doing the back-end annotations, okay, facial annotations, for prevention of accidents, okay, using AI. So like your seat belt, okay, there's a camera with a dwell time set, which focuses onto the driver. Now, what my young men and women were doing, because we finished that contract, is that they used to annotate the eye in the open, half shut and closed position, okay? And this enabled the company to do the front end, which was the prevention of accidents, okay? But this annotation was done in 6 different angles because the driver could doze off in any angle, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is one aspect. The second, of course, all of us know the pandemic. So many of my heads of institutions have died. So many of my colleagues have died. So many of our children have died. So many parents have died. So it was a total upheaval, And fortunately for us, just prior to about 3 years before the pandemic, we started what we call the simulated process, okay? So we use dummy forms to be able to simulate a process for them to be able to maximize efficiency. Now, people will give you work out of empathy and sympathy. But nobody is going to give you work in continuity unless you meet the SLAs of the company. So in this simulated phase, we were able to enable that.
Sugandha, if I may ask you, when you choose people who come into this fold of your projects, now each of these seem pretty complicated when you're explaining with simulation and AI inclusion also as part of the project management. Do you have an IQ level that, okay, this much should be the IQ for people who are going to be part of the project? Because it seems pretty high end. How do you choose?
This is what I keep telling people. This is not rocket science at all. It's just a simple pattern recognition process. And the training till we come to simulation is only for 2 hours. So in simulation, what we do is we extend it from 2 hours to 8 hours, which is what is required for them to go into live work. We make sure that accuracy levels are 100%. We make sure that, you know, all the nuances of SLAs are met. Okay, because as I told you earlier, otherwise we would lose our job before we found it. And the other thing that we do, Rashmi, which is really, really important, is in the case of AI, the reference was an image, but the drop down that they had to select, for instance, EYE, made it an A for Apple situation. Because what they can do is match A in an A and Apple in an Apple. But this was an image, and this was the word EYE. So all we did when the managing director came across to our center was, I asked if they could make it an outline of an eye. And you see how quickly it was absolutely appropriate for the grassroots community that we serve. So this is what we do. The intermediate software will take care of any kind of knowledge that has to be changed or any kind of, you know, columns that need, one column that needs to be, you know, three columns and things like that. What we do is the logic we leave for the end. Okay, we make sure that what they see is what they type, one cell to the next, and thereafter they're able to, after every row, do the QC. But what we do is we automate that logic. Now, because of the simulated process, in the first, I would say 45 days, all 475 centers were closed down by the government during the pandemic. And I thought this was the end of Amba. But then suddenly I realized that these guys knew how to use remote access software. And thereafter, my team of 22 people, what they did was they taught the parents, 80% of our centers are in rural India. They taught our parents, our mothers, to share hotspot. And then it became possible for us to do the work. So we have, out of 475 centers, we have revived 131 centers. And I'm going to just, one more point I'm going to put across to you is, when we started, we were just 2% women in all these 475 centers. Today, we are 37% women. Because of the fact that at puberty, which mother would have the courage to send their child outside the house, right? Especially when they're intellectual.
Yeah, Sugandha, for this amazing work that you and your team have got into society to make everyone feel so included, I'm sure recognition has come its way, and it's come in very naturally, because I think work like this needs to be acknowledged. So what are some of those recognitions that you would like to acknowledge?
So we've been very lucky. We've been recognized at the state level, at the national level, and also at the international level. And of course, what I'm most proud of is the 4 stars that I have who won national awards, and they're going to introduce themselves and tell you about it. But I think the award that really triggered off this entire thing, you know, gave me the confidence to go forward, is the Ashoka Fellowship that I got. I got it in 2007 without really doing very much. And that's the first time they went and checked it out across, 155 countries. And they came back to tell me that the community that we were serving, there was nobody else in the world that was serving that community for not just education, but employment using technology. So that's one of my proudest moments, to know that we had taken technology to people with intellectual disabilities, with low IQ, okay, and multiple disabilities. Other than that, we've got the GSC 3S Awards. You know, this was at the United Nations, and it, I think the global head for impact sourcing from Seattle, Microsoft, you know, he came to give us the award. It was a very proud moment, and I was really mushy and emotional at that time, but I'm much better at holding my emotions today. But it was really a feeling of pride. And then it was wonderful to be called to speak at the UN in Korea, in, you know, at New York. And also the UN asked me to go and represent this community and how we take technology to people with intellectual disabilities at the University of Oklahoma. You know, the research program there, the head of the research, she brought in all the national heads of all the different disabilities. And we did a bit of a comparative study of what they had and what I had. And they concluded that, you know, we might be a good inclusion to make it more complete in the United States. But most of the places all over the world, Rashmi, you find that people of the level of intellect that we address, where they don't know the alphabet at any juncture, they are being patronized. Then they don't have a proper process in place, okay? But otherwise, there's a lot of technology awards at the national level, you know, best NGO. We got the Helen Keller also for the organization itself. I'm not too perturbed about the awards that we get. I'm more what I really need help from. And this is something I'd like to put across. I need business to match the training that we're doing. Mm. We really are good at doing the training. We're going to revive all the centers by 2026. But unless I have business, how am I going to employ them? How are they going to become contributors to their family and society at large?
Yeah. So when you say business, what kind of business are you looking for, Sugandha? If you can specify at least some of the areas, it'll be clear for people who are listening.
So data processing in the automated scenario, you know, where if I give you an example of telecommunications, okay, the prepaid process is completely automated with just the Aadhaar card. But for the post-paid process, there are lots of opportunities still available for them. The human interface is required, okay? When it comes to billing, whether it's electricity or any of the other genres, you'll find that there's a lot of mismatch that happens. So you need that human interface. So in the case of the electricity, you know, the first image where the animator goes and takes the meter reading and the completed receipt that is there. You just got to make sure that the meter readings in the completed receipt and this are the same. So like this in AI, complete facial recognition, is our kids are very good at doing it. You know, annotating all the features of the face. So for instance, you know, if it is Parliament, today you're only swiping a card and walking in. Anybody can swipe that card from you and go swipe and get in and do what he wants, right? But if all the facial features are annotated, you know, maybe even if he grows a beard, there'll be some match, at least 4 or 5 matches that would be there. Then, of course, manipulating images, copying and pasting and manipulating images, you know, to be able to, like in this case, we just did the pilot. We didn't complete the project because the pandemic came in the way. Okay, so in multimedia, in market research, there is so much of work our guys can do in market research. So, you know, I could do a whole session only on this. But what I would love is for volunteers from different companies to just come and spend an hour with us, Rashmi, whether it is online or otherwise, and then help us to develop more opportunities of work, you know, which we are limited actually, because we are even 22 people are not enough to get that kind of thing, right? But if young minds could come and join us in this search for the possibilities of work that our young men and women could do, that would really help, Rashmi. Okay.
Hi, Rashmi.
Hi, Chaitra. Yes, go ahead, introduce me to who you have with you, the stars of Amba.
They're absolutely the stars of Amba, and we are so proud of having them here. Who will introduce themselves? They'll do the introduction themselves.
Over sure.
Hi, good afternoon, friends. My name is Bharti Srinivasan. I am runner-up of CII Women in Rampura 2017 for Education.
My name is Priya, manages the virtual curriculum training. I'm the CII Women's Exemplar 2013 for Education.
My name is Siju Tekil. I won the Helen Keller Award in 2016 for being the outstanding employee of the year.
My name is Deep Popana. I won the MacGyver Locally Award online during the pandemic.
This is the team, and they're amazing.
Absolutely, absolutely amazing. Wonderful meeting all you award winners. All the very best to all of you, and thank you so much. Such a pleasure meeting all of you.
Thank you.
So Sugandha, at this moment, the two questions I end the conversation is the lessons from the pandemic and life lessons that you'd like to leave us with. So what did the pandemic teach you?
So basically, the pandemic, I think what it taught us was nothing is impossible. Okay. We lost so many people. We lost heads of institutions, parents. But I saw the grit with which our youngsters picked up from where we kind of left off and took things forward. If they could have that courage and grit to be able to be as successful as they are, where were we? You know, we needed to go beyond that. And so, therefore, I realized my team, every time we had a meeting, they were giving me new options. The second thing I learned about the pandemic is that everybody survived, okay, whatever the circumstance. And the most important thing was, for the first time, my youngsters, it was when one of my youngsters told me, ma'am, I am also working from home like my brother, who's in an IT company. That's when I realized we were truly integrated for the first time. Okay.
So in conclusion, Sugandha, three life lessons that you'd like to leave us with.
The first thing I realized is, as a woman, you can manage many boxes at one time. Multitasking comes much more easier to us than it does to men. And multitasking is one of the, I do believe multitasking works, but you need to compartmentalize. Okay, this is a lesson that I've learned over the years. Multitasking is absolutely brilliant, but you need to compartmentalize. When you're working in one compartment, you need to close out the other compartment and then come back to the next and the next and the next. That is the only way things work. The second thing that I realized is, the minute your mind tells you it's done, it's done. Now you only got to figure out how to do it. And this is something that I've realized, you know, a strong mind. And there are only two things you can do, right, Rashmi? Either you can rise above it or you can succumb to it, okay? And there is only one option in my book. The third thing I realized is, where this community is concerned, every time I thought we had done enough, but there was something else that they did to surprise us. And so I believe with this community, the sky is the limit.
Wow, Sugandha, the sky definitely is the limit, is what you have shown us. The choices that you made when life laid it all so easy for you, you decided to go the other way and make a difference. And I think it's people like you that truly inspire. Thank you so much for sharing your journey, sharing your work on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Honored to have you.
About myself today. Thank you.
All the very best, Sugandha. Have a beautiful 2023. And what a lovely story to start You and I with Rashmi Shetty in this year. Thank you so very much, Chaitra, and your entire team who joined us, Kalpana, for being part of this conversation. All the very best to all of you. Thank you so very much.
Bye.
With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.